Welcome to the Warren Group's January Foreclosure Podcast. I'm Cassidy Murphy, here with Tim Warren, CEO of the Warren Group. Thank you for joining us, Tim.
You're welcome, Cassidy.
So we have 1 month's worth of foreclosure data to look at, but before we get started on January, I thought we would take a look back. It's now been 10 years since the recession started. What are your thoughts on the recovery in Massachusetts in both the residential market and the foreclosure industry?
Yes, and what a decade it's been, Cassie. We consider 2005 to be the peak of the real estate market in Massachusetts. In 2006, the sales volume and median prices started to fall, and foreclosure activity started to increase. Because each of the 6 years prior to 2005 had seen double-digit increases in median prices, a bubble had formed, and gains were unsustainable, and the market crashed badly. Things kept falling for 6 straight years, but 2016 is the 5th year of the recovery. But prices have still not reached their previous peak, and foreclosures, for reasons of their own, have shown an unsettling resurgence. In 2014, foreclosure starts increased by 45%. Then in 2015, they increased by 55%. And now in January of 2016, starts have increased by 50%. In my view, the bottom line is that the real estate market is doing fine. Its recovery continues unabated with slow and steady progress. The increase in foreclosures is an anomaly and does nothing really to describe the state of the real estate market over the past 2 years.
It's been slightly less than 2 years since we saw the number of petitions start to pick up in Massachusetts in March of 2014. Can you explain why that happened and when we might start to see it level off?
The increase in all measures of foreclosure activity has been unsettling to everyone. It is sort of like the sick canary in a coal mine. Is it really forecasting disaster ahead? I think not. What has happened is that in 2013, lenders drastically cut their foreclosure processing. Petitions to foreclose fell by 47% that year. That was due to uncertainty about meeting all the legal requirements to complete a foreclosure properly, and regulatory pressure to go slowly on foreclosures. And remember that in 2013, going slowly on foreclosure was in the lender's best interest, too. Taking back thousands of homes from homeowners in the early stages of economic recovery was not attractive to lenders. Better to wait until the market improved and then move ahead with illegal processing. That's what's happening now. And we are reaching what I think is an equilibrium in foreclosure numbers. In each of the past 12 months, the number of foreclosure starts has remained within a rather narrow band. The low monthly number is 868, and the high is 1,224. January saw 924, so that is in the low end of the range. I expect that we'll see monthly numbers remain in that range for the balance of 2016.
All right. Well, that's good news for a lot of people. Can you talk us through the process of a foreclosure? What happens when a property enters foreclosure? And why don't petitions, the first step, equal deeds, the last step? What happens to the property when a lender takes possession of it?
Well, one thing we know for sure is that it's a long process to complete a foreclosure, and not all of it is revealed in the public record. The first step is not public record. It's a private notice to the homeowner warning that a foreclosure is about to start. 150 days after that notice to the homeowner, if the situation is not cured, an order of notice, also known as a petition to foreclose, is recorded at the land court. Following that is newspaper advertising of a public auction, 3 weeks in a row of the same newspaper ad. At the auction, anyone can place a winning bid on the property, but in most cases, no one is willing to pay enough to outbid the lender. whenever this is the result of the auction, then the property goes back to the bank as the winning bidder. And the process must now clear the title in order to receive a foreclosure deed of the property, and that is recorded at the Registry of Deeds. If the lender takes title of the property, it will then be free to sell the property on the open market, often using a real estate broker. Now, the number of petitions doesn't always equal, never equals, actually, the number of foreclosure deeds. And that's because a lot of things fall through before the foreclosure is completed. For example, a short sale may take place where the lender agrees to sell it to a third party at a price less than what the outstanding mortgage balance might be. And there are other situations where someone is finally able to get reemployed to refinance the mortgage and do a loan modification. So that's basically the process of the foreclosure process.
Okay. So to bring it back to the January numbers, at the county level, the highest percentage increases in petitions were in Hampton, 151%, Hampshire, 75%, and Barnstable, 174%. What's going on in those particular counties?
Well, I'd say it's a little bit dangerous to draw too many conclusions on trends from small sets of data. The three counties you mentioned might be tops in the increased activity this month, only to be replaced by three different counties next month. The one thing I will say, though, is that all real estate activity is tied closely to personal income of consumers. In the areas where job numbers are increasing, where wages and opportunities to earn more money are rising, those are the areas where real estate will do better than average. So in this case, it may be that Hampden, Hampshire, and Barnstable counties are lagging in employment opportunities, and the foreclosure statistics reflect that fact.
All right. And finally, the increase in foreclosure petitions is not something about which we need to be concerned, is it?
No. I'm not concerned about the real estate market at the present time, and I won't be unless and until I see another bubble forming or a recession taking hold of the economy. I don't see those at the present time.
Thank you, Tim. I'm Cassidy Murphy, Editorial Director of The Warren Group, here with Tim Warren, CEO. If you'd like more information about The Warren Group's housing and foreclosure data, please visit www.thewarrengroup.com.